I feel like I need to stretch. It's been a while since we did this here little podcast thing. I'm a little rusty.
Nigga, it ain't been that long. We've gone years without doing this podcast before, multiple times. So,
I think the issue is this little break we had fell in time where it gets dark at about 2:30 p.m.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So time is going extremely slow and fast at the same time. So I'm all out of school.
Yeah, you know, when the sun sets at 12:11 p.m., it's kind of hard, you know, to find that motivation, you feel me, to come and give y'all a free podcast every fucking week. But look at us, the generous Negroids that we are. Right back here, still giving y'all that audio art, you feel me, giving y'all that podcast thrax, you feel me, never on time, you know, we're not...
We're always never there when you call. Also never on time.
But we'll drop off that pipe. You feel me?
Occasionally.
Yeah, you know, you feel me? Just enough to stay in the front of your mind. You feel me? Just enough to, just when you think you about to move on, just when you think you about to go get another podcast, up a new podcast, upgrade, supposedly, we come right back in and ruin your life again. Then beware the L's, boys. We are back. This is actually episode 54. Took me a minute to figure that shit out.
For sure.
Episode 54. I know we talked about this shit a lot. Damn, I wish we had a chance to go to Studio 54, bruh.
Man, like, listen, that is we missed our chance. We were born 20 years too late.
30 years too late, honestly.
To catch a vibe there with all the celebrities that would show up. All the copious amounts of cocaines,
drugs, all around. Oh my goodness, bro!
I wouldn't have made it out.
That's maybe it's a good thing. But we back here, episode 54 of the illustrious, the wonderful, the world renowned Beware the L's podcast. It is your boys, Uptown Ace Boogie, on one side of the interwebs, and on the other, my good brother from the three counties.
Ain't that Wes? What it do? Yes. We're here again, you know what I'm saying? Giving you another episode of some shit talking. We got some good topics. I've forgotten what they are already, so they will be news to me.
That's fine. That is what your program director's for. I'm here to save you. Bail your ass out.
I appreciate it every time, my brother.
So, yeah, you know, we here. So, as always, follow us. Follow the show page, at Beware the L's, on both Twitter and IG. You know, we always looking for some feedback, some ideas. We always looking for some feedback, on our drip shit. And we always looking for, you know, some interaction, you feel me? What you liking, what you not liking, what you feeling, what you think we should do different, what you think we should talk about. We are very benevolent, you know what I'm saying? We may be assholes, but we're still benevolent, you know what I'm saying? So we'll listen. No guarantee that we'll actually execute, but we'll listen because we love y'all in some platonic form.
Absolutely, yes. We live to do this podcast for you guys, so you guys should have a piece in it, whether we listen to it or not. But you feel like you should speak your piece because we want this to be a healthy relationship. To a point.
Okay. I guess we're doing a role reversal tonight. You're usually the OD toxic one. But, you know, it's okay.
I'm just trying to get some good Christmas gifts. I'm putting on a front, if you will. You know what I'm saying?
That's real. That's real. Well, if you would like to supply us with any type of Christmas gifts, go ahead, drop a rate or drop a like anywhere where you listen to your podcast. Let niggas know you fuck with it. Go ahead, retweet it. Put that shit out there. Tell a friend. Spread the word. Again, you know, just fuck with us. You feel me? Trying to get them Apple Pies numbers up. So, please, yeah. That's the best Christmas gift you could give us. A bottle of like Henny Limited VSOP Black Label Edition, that will work too. But other than that, we would like this. So
I'm simple. Give me a rate and some Erkin jerk, and we were tied for life.
Oh, a little bit of Erkin jerk never hurt anybody. But we are here. We are coming up on Christmas. It's time. Like you said, has gone by very quickly. Especially here, up in the Cleveland, Ohio area where COVID is kicking our asses. It's scary hours up here. You know, it's kind of getting to that point where, you know, you we outside. That shit's over with, bruh. I am in the house. I'm in the attic, as a matter of fact. We ain't got time for none of that shit. So, you know, as things do start to slow back down a little bit, you know, we hoping that we can take some more time to sit down with y'all. You feel me? We want to definitely want to get in at least one more pod, you know, our annual year and wrap up before the end of the year. So, you know, I do just want to take a second. You know, if you live in anywhere in the country, everywhere in the country is being ravaged by COVID right now. But if you are in a hot spot like me here in Cleveland, Ohio, we want to make sure that you got you want to make sure that you have something, anything to help get you through that difficult time. I think we talked about a lot on here, the things that helped us get through the early portion of the pandemic, the middle portion of the pandemic, and now where we are now, the middle portion of the pandemic.
That's a bold claim. COVID talked to you and said where they was at.
So, you know, we want to be able to give y'all something good, something to reflect on, something to give you a little bit of entertainment or a little bit of insight. Maybe take your mind off things, even if it's just for an hour. You feel me? So that's what we here for. You know, all jokes aside, all that, we don't fuck with you, all that shit aside, we love y'all niggas and non-niggas. So we in this bitch, right here, please. But also take your fucking precautions, you know, on the COVID side. I don't really give a fuck what nobody else talking about. Go ahead, get that shot. If you ain't gonna get that shot, which you should, then at least wear a goddamn mask. That's really it. I ain't really nothing else to say about that. So, as we move forward, you know, into our topic list of the night, as Wes accurately stated, we have a lot of good things to discuss tonight. However, you know, COVID has been difficult on everybody in one way, shape, or another, whether it's actually hit you health-wise, the people that you love, you know, whether it's hurt you financially or just, you know, attacked your mental health, whatever the situation may be, everyone has struggled from COVID and felt those effects in some way, shape, or form. Except the motherfuckers off Succession, because they hit another goddamn home run this season. God damn it. That shit is good, nigga.
I was wondering where you're going to go with that, my brother. You landed that plane like Sullenberg. Yeah, Succession
ran through a
tremendous season, the third season of the hit show on HBO.
Oh, man.
And this was a season for the ages with a finale for the ages.
Oh, my God. I mean, and this wasn't even part of our original rundown that I sent Wes earlier, but it's something that you can't not discuss. Yeah, man. I mean, honestly, we came into this year knowing that we were going to be shorted an episode of Succession because of pandemic shit. And, you know, we thought, okay, how might that affect the story? Will they be able to lay out things the way they want to? Is it going to be rushed? You get what I'm saying? I mean, when you have a show that's nothing but excellence with the first two seasons, you know, you expect a little bit of regression towards the mean, I think, by around season three. Even the best shows of all time all got that one season where you just like, and Succession ain't found it yet. We talked a little bit about, I think, the first couple episodes, you know, on some previous pods. But now that the season has wrapped up this past Sunday, we got to get into it as a whole. So, Wesley, my boy, first and foremost, who is your biggest loser? Who is your MVP? And what is your favorite moment of this season of Succession?
Okay, let's see. Off the top of the head, because again, you don't tell me things.
No.
But biggest loser would probably have to be, I would say, Roman. Because in these last few episodes, he got super tight with Pops and thought that he was gonna be the next guy. Even though Shiv was telling him, nah, dad's fooling around with you. Kendall told him that. But for some reason, he still felt a connection with L to the OG. And at the very end, you saw what happened there. So, Biggest Loser. MVP would probably have to be... Gotta be Greg.
Ah! The motherfucking egg, goddammit. Egg supremacy.
Yes, this show was basically just the Greg show for me. And featuring my biggest moment. We'll talk about later. Mm-hmm. But Greg is just continually rising.
Yeah, man. He didn't, you know, this is a show about L's. He didn't really hold too many significant L's. I mean, other than his grandfather cutting him out of the inheritance. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. But other than that, for a show like this, that's small potatoes.
I say no, and he's suing Greenpeace to get his lick back. So we all, baby. But not Greg. Yes, Greg lost out on inheritance, but he's still continually rising in the company. And at the very end, he linked with one of y'all's favorite characters. We're gonna get into y'all and how, that guy for what he did.
That but, mama, there goes that man.
Man, y'all I was sick in the group chat.
Nigga, that's Tom's person of the year. Goddamn, the God. Fuck.
My stomach, I had the bubble guts when y'all keeping praise upon that man. But yes, my MVP is Greg, because Greg is a cool nigga. Yeah. And my biggest moment, you said biggest moment, was that the last thing?
Yeah, biggest moment, favorite moment.
Biggest moment, favorite moment for me was anytime they put that thick glass of milk on that motherfucking screen. God damn.
Oh, man, sounded like the nigga from Don't Be a Menace. To South Central.
Milk of magnesia.
Milk of magnesia. Shiv, god damn.
Anytime they put Siobhan Roy in a dress, nigga?
Man, listen. Oh, and they knew what they was doing. They leaned on that shit heavily. That last episode, like I told y'all niggas in the group, that was the most Shiv ass shots per capita that we've gotten in any episode so far.
Man, I'm telling you, when we speak of legends, when we speak of Einstein John Wall, when we speak of Untucked Kyrie, Mask LeBron, we'll have to talk about
Summer Shiv, Dress Shiv.
Summer Dress Shiv in Italy. She is up there in the pantheon of niggas with an adjective assigned to them. Because Shiv, I'm a big Shiv. I wasn't a huge Shiv fan in the beginning until we seen what she was working with.
Yeah.
But my favorite. Honestly, but other than that, like my favorite moments were probably any interactions between the siblings. Like,
yeah,
I think my favorite might have been when they were at they were at Kendall's house, and it was all four of them in the room.
Yep,
kind of feeling each other out, talking shit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That might be my favorite kind of scene from the entire series. But anytime that the siblings got together talking shit, was good for me.
They're all such terrible people. I feel like that's the one thing that you always got to come back to on the show. Everybody on this show, even the people that you like, are the most selfish, arrogant pricks, to use that word, that you will ever meet in your life. And it creates such an interesting dynamic because you don't know, ain't really nobody to root for. And if you do catch yourself rooting for somebody, it's almost like you got to open up the darkest part of your soul to do it because you know they're a terrible person. You know what I'm saying? Anytime a show on television makes you question yourself, that's pretty high praise, and that's amazing writing and character development. And that's all that Succession is. You know, we are in our little group chat. We love raunchy comedies. We love documentaries about dictators, and we love period pieces set in all white settings and just general shows that show off and illustrate character direction or character development and growth. And that's exactly what you get with Succession. So your biggest loser, Roman, I mean, honestly, Roman went from, he was like I was about to say like shoots and ladders. It's like eels and escalators. And then it goes eels, escalators. This motherfucker's stock was so high, even two episodes ago. I would say episode 7, as high as Roman's stock ever been. And we talked about how Roman has been positioning himself for this moment since the very show started. And it looked like for a little while that he was finally going to get that opportunity to be that guy to be Logan's Chris Partlow. And as Roman does, he fumbled the bag horrendously on two separate occasions. First, obviously the dick pics to Jerry, which, bro, she already asked you not to, so it has crossed sexual harassment lines. Now, and also on top of that, how do you, Jerry and Dad are not anywhere near close enough in the alphabet for you to accidentally send a picture of your pink pecker to your father during a board meet?
Maybe he had Jerry saved under. Damn, Jerry, this bitch old. So maybe the damn and dad kind of went together. But yeah, for him to, because even when he was from the start of the show, mm-hmm. the jokey son, the son that was just weird, quirky,
yeah,
really involved in anything, to just see him really rise up to that potential number two role. Mm-hmm. And then to eventually be the head of the company, and then to see him kind of fall very fast and very
quickly, swiftly.
Yeah, it was something to see, man. Break him down.
You hate to see it between that and, I mean, because he had a number of moments this season where he navigated things really well, particularly the bathroom scene with the guy who's running for president. He chopped that motherfucker down. That nigga talked that talk and chopped that motherfucker down and got him on board. So we know that Roman is capable. We've seen flashes, but he is somebody who needs to be reeled in. He's somebody who needs very close. He needs guidance and he needs direction. And when he doesn't have those things and he's left up to his own devices for too long, he inevitably fucks it up. The whole situation with, what's it called? I think it's Gojo.
Something like that.
You know, he thought he had, you know, fucking, Elon Zuckerberg. In his back pocket, but he ended up getting finessed by the finesser. You know, he just, at the end of the day, you know, Logan kind of just told him, like, hey, go do your thing, and, you know, hey, you can't send Monte Ellis out to the court with an unlimited shot clock. It's not gonna go well. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so while Roman definitely took some massive L's this season, I am going to counter your Roman, and my biggest L for the season is going to go to Shiv. We talked about how swift Roman's fall from grace was. Shiv's was even wilder because Shiv has always been a golden child. She has always been. We saw from the very first episode of season three, her insecurity started peeking through when she felt like her position wasn't 100% secure. As it always has been. And as soon as she lost her little bit of edge, she dived into lunacy. You know, Shiv's been the one that's been calling all the shots. She's been making all the plays behind the scenes. She's been getting groomed to be that top guy. She's been doing whatever the fuck she's wanted to Tom. Fuck Tom. She don't love that nigga anyway, according to her. And, She literally, I mean, any even halfway L that she took leading up to season three, she was able to sidestep it and get around it because she's a white woman with an ass. So, you know, it generally works out pretty well for them. However, we saw that this season she was not invincible. And after she kind of, you know, fucked up and I think what she couldn't, what did she do? Did she was doing too much with the DOJ or?
Early on?
Yeah.
She was supposed to bring Sanaa Lathan in.
Then couldn't do that.
And then
she talked to, I think, the lady from the DOJ without permission. Fucked that up too. Then she had that whole thing with Sandy Furness, where she was just, you get a board seat. Kind of fucked that up too. And it was one other kind of major thing. Oh, I think she overstepped with ATN and kind of forced the editor to run that story about the president too.
Well, Logan wanted her to do that.
According to her.
She kind of
took some liberties though, bro. She took some motherfucking liberties. So with all that being said, when she started showing cracks in the armor, is when the true monster came out. But we realized over the course of the season that she ain't got that dog in her the way that Logan and her ain't shit mama does. And she assumed that because she came from that family tree, that she had that Kobe Bryant killer instinct, that Jordan mentality, that clutch gene. And Shiv ain't clutch, bruh. Shiv ain't clutch, unfortunately. So for this season to go from where she was at the beginning, where it seemed like she was, you know, it was a foregone conclusion for her to end up being the one to take over the company, to then, you know, minor L after minor L after minor L after minor L, with the massive L coming at the end and her literally being left out in the cold. No job, no money. I mean, technically she has a husband, but I don't know how long that's gonna last. No side dick, no nothing.
Shiv gonna get her some side dick. She was fucking on her wedding night. She knew what's up. But yeah, she was another one that took an L. There's a myriad of people you can say took L's this past season.
You know who really didn't take no L's? Frank.
Yeah, I say Frank was some wild shit. Harry was good money. Really just the kids. The kids all took L's.
Yeah, and it was time. It was time for their armor to be scratched. And Kendall, oh God, don't even get me started on Kendall. Kendall's a fucking train wreck. He's always been a train wreck. But this was, I would definitely say though, that finale, really the last couple episodes after he had his breakdown at his party, tremendous work from that madman Jeremy Strong. As we know, he's a wild boy. But mm-hmm. You saw about coming to the character. He absolutely killed that shit. And just being able to show somebody who is in such a high position and you feel like you got it all, or you feel like you on the precipice of having it all, and you can't hold it together. And, you know, once that mental health deteriorates, just like that, you're done. You're out of here. We knew it was a wrap when he shaved his head, started looking like Marshall Henderson. So, all bad. All bad.
Shout out Marshall Henderson. Hope you're doing good, player. But yeah, you see the decline that was going to happen from Jump Street on the other season with Kendall. And it's going to be interesting to see kind of where he goes from here. But
oh, for sure. MVP / biggest moment, that's just all rolled up into one, playboy. Man, the one, the only.
It's interesting to see when people you consider friends, when they go the opposite direction of logic and loyalty and familia, la costra nostra, of all that.
That man, that guy, Tom, Times Person of the Year, Tom motherfucking Wamsgams.
Cuckscamps.
yes, indeed. But cuck boy no more. I mean, but honestly, this was also something that, again, we discussed in the group chat, you could have seen coming, but we just didn't know when it was going to come exactly. And when it did come, it felt like the Red Wedding. Tom has been getting shit on by pretty much everybody from the beginning. He is, as I called him, Cuckboy Supreme. He is the punching bag. He is the one that has to do all the grunt work. He is the one that has to put out all the fires. He's one that has to take everything on the chin, including what he thought was going to end up in a prison sentence for him. But we could kind of see the pieces being laid down of him gaining Logan's trust and gaining Logan's loyalty. And he kind of finally let it all out in the last episode. And honestly, you know, you say, oh, blah, blah, blah. Oh, Tom out here snitching. Oh, your idol snitching, blah, blah, blah. Tomkashi 6ix9ine, whatever, whatever, whatever. But, bro, he tried with Shiv.
Justify snitching. Go ahead, yes.
He tried so hard with Shiv. And even you got to admit that. He tried very hard to make a terrible, toxic situation work with a woman that does not love him. When you were doing BDSM shit and your woman is slapping you in the face, talking about, I'm out of your league, you don't deserve me, the only reason you're with me is because you idolize and you worship me, and then the next day follows it up and says, I may not love you, but I love you. Man, listen, Shiv is lucky she didn't get tossed off the side of the castle. All right, with the way she moving, bro. Nah, dog.
Man, I'm not. If Shiv was Shiv, the heir to Ronnie's couch emporium, and not one of the biggest companies in the country, Tom ain't staying for that shit. Tom was hanging around because he knew what the fuck was up. He might have fell in love with Shiv, but to a point when she's treating him like this, he's sticking around for the money. He sees the big bag at the end, and you can't convince me any different. Damn it.
Well,
this man out here telling.
Big snitching.
Your MVP swallowed his own load. On his own recognizance.
You know. Fuck me.
That's your king?
No, I think I just caught a Spider-Man spoiler.
Oh, boy.
From Complex.
Oh, boy. Good thing I had to put my phone down.
Yeah. From fucking Complex.
Hey, man. You gotta stay away in these streets, man. You might as well turn your damn phone off so you go see the movies. That's what I'm debating.
Ain't that a motherfucker? Fucking comp. Okay, you know what?
Joseph De La Puma's on your ass.
let me recenter myself. Big snitching time. Shiv is treating him like shit when it comes down to it. Shiv is treating him terribly. He's hung in there. All this man wanted was to go to jail and have a baby. Shiv was like, nah, uh-uh. And then Shiv was like, yeah, I don't really love you, nigga. And it was like, yeah, I'm out of your league. So you know what? You know what, huh? You know what, ho? You know what? Let's run that check up. Let's run that check up. I'm taking me and my nigga Greg. You feel me? And we about to be the top of the bottom. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? And you know what?
Bottom of the top.
The bottom of the top. I'm sorry. And you know what? That motherfucker did what the fuck he had to do for himself. And I respect that shit, bro. Because you know what? Tom is now about to be the number two in that organization. And what's Shiv going to be doing? What's Shiv going to be doing?
Whatever the hell she want with that thing, man.
She gonna have to make an OnlyFans now. You know what I'm saying? Which, yeah, I mean,
something that's gonna bust a Fortune 500. That's right up there with Waystar.
So I mean, honestly, bro, I mean, just the way that entire situation was set up, because they finally, after all this time, were able to come together. Because that's the one thing the kids have not done in 3 seasons. The kids have not come together. We've been waiting for that Avengers link up, and it hadn't happened. And then we finally got it, and we're like, oh shit, these niggas finally came together. They're going to shut Logan down, or at least challenge Logan and make things very interesting going into season 4. And nothing at all is interesting going into season 4, because them niggas are out of here. Yeah. But what it really comes down to is, their mother may be the worst person on planet Earth. She's up there with Betty Draper.
She stinks. I'm not going to put her all the way up on that upper echelon. Just
oh, yet. She's the worst.
She's very bad. But we didn't get enough badness. We've seen her a few times. She was kind of bad, and every time we saw her. But yeah, for her to turn on the kids, to link with Logan for really no apparent reason other than just being a horrible person, it was sad to see.
You hate to see it.
Yeah, so that's I'm not really a fan of that, but it's gonna be super duper interesting to see kind of what the kids, how they react to this, because honestly, once whatchamacallem start mocking me, I would have had to swing on old boy. I don't give a fuck you, my pops, nigga. We about to fight. You can't be mocking me in front of the help, in front of Jerry,
in front of Jerry. but yeah, bro, it was very epic finale. Like I said, that look on Shiv's face is the same exact look that my young king Rob Stark had on his face when he knew it was lights out for a nigga.
Wee.
R.I.P. King Wolfhead.
We can talk about the funniest moments of HBO history TV shows.
Oh man, we got Tom Bolton over here, Roose Wamsgans. setting up the plays, and I definitely want to highlight the acting in that scene by everybody. Five stars.
That was great.
Shiv to Tom's fake obliviousness to Roman literally breaking down and falling to his knees, to Jerry keeping that same old cold face that she always does, to Logan dogging they fucking lives. It was perfect. Perfect ending. Season 3 had one of the best premieres and one of the best finales that I think we've seen in recent memory. We will talk more about Succession on our yearly wrap-up, but got to give it to that man. You got to give it to that man, bro. So, hey, you call him a snitch, I call him an opportunist. He will be doing, Tom Wineskins will be doing a podcast with WAC 100 before you know it.
Can't wait. I can't wait for the new TV show featuring DJ Vlad, Tom Wamsgams, and Austin Moore over here.
Big
telethon.
That is not me, sir. Thank you very much. Oh, DJ Vlad, what a piece of shit. But the folks on Succession, especially the siblings, tend to have a very adversarial, kind of a frenemy type of relationship.
My friends in the industry, my brothers, been my brothers, man, you niggas ain't no kidding me, it's a fact.
Well, I'm usually the one that does the segues, but you just led us straight into our next topic, the Free Larry Hoover concert, which, as far as I know, has done nothing to actually help free Larry Hoover.
Oh, this man didn't read the press release. So what they did was they was going to play the audio. They was going to send the audio to the warden and hope that the auto-tunes and synths of Mike Dean cooled his warmed his cold heart like the heat miser from Stop Back Christmas TV shows, and that he would just let Larry go.
Okay, got it. I did miss that, so thank you for filling in the gaps, because that's all you ever do. You can never write an entire piece. Maybe just an intro paragraph and something conveniently sandwiched in the middle. So thank you for your little contributions. Appreciate it.
Man, act like I wasn't dropping Daily Kent Stater pieces on these niggas.
Was, nigga. I gotta give you that. In between chicken boxes and 40s and blowing out your meniscuses. Menisci. Definitely, man. I'm gonna be honest. The Free Larry Hoover cause is something that, the black community as a whole is very interested in. However, when it came down to this particular event, niggas forgot Larry Hoover existed. And it was all about, go ahead, watch BMF. I still ain't watched it yet because I refuse to sign up for Stars. But what this whole event was about, what it all came down to, yeah, man, this was essentially 2021's I Declare War concert. This was Hov bringing out Nas to do Dead Presidents. This was Kanye and Drake after years and years and years of the little subs, the subliminals, the press junkets, the interviews, the talk of Drake smashing Kanye's still at the moment wife, Sharon or Pete Davidson, all of that shit, just very petty and very catty. And I think something that we don't talk about enough, because us, we are 90s and 2000s babies. We grew up on beef, literally. Beef DVDs was all I had in the trunk of my car senior year of high school. So, like, this was something that we came up on. This is something that we love. Niggas like Wes love battle rap for whatever reason. I'm sorry. Did I insult B Magic? Did I insult Arsenal?
Smack Volume 9 is Saturday. Tune in. Caffeine.
How much does the Caffeine app cost, Wes?
Caffeine app is free.
Okay.
Yeah, you can watch the battles for free, but the URL app, that's what it's going to cost you.
The Splat app.
exactly.
But niggas, we love competition in our music. You know, that's what is provocative.
Especially amongst the greats.
Yes. But importantly, amongst the greats. We love competition in our shit, bro. Like, that's just provocative. It gets the people going. So anytime we even get a smidgen or anytime we get an inkling of hearing about two prominent rappers beefing in our age, we get excited. However, we got to understand that this is not the 90s and 2000s where niggas got killed over this shit. This is, and not, I'm not to glorify that, but I think the situations, it's just, it's all petty. You know what I'm saying? Like, there isn't, there's nothing real behind it. There's no, like, it's not even real animosity. It's just that, hey, I'm the nicest nigga out. You think you the nicest nigga out. I think I got more money than you. You think you got more money than me. I fucked badder bitches than you. You think you fucked badder bitches. You know what I'm saying? So, like, especially when you're dealing with two guys like Drake and Kanye, who are both, by their own admissions, not tough guys whatsoever. Well, actually, Drake thinks he's a tough guy, but we're not going to go there today.
Not today.
You know, it's, I feel like there's only so much to ever really get invested in this beef. I have not, this quote-unquote beef has never moved me from day one. The only real interesting aspect, of course, is the god Pusha Terrence, who, you know, put Drake in a casket, wrapped that nigga up, you know, and sent him back to Ontario. That's it, though. The whole Kanye-Drake dynamic is not, like, a real thing to me. You feel me?
It is, like I said, like you were talking to, it's a, I'm a fan of when rappers don't necessarily like each other, because I feel like that helps us get some of the most good music when you're rapping with, for a cause, or you're rapping that battery in your back that I need to prove I'm better than XYZ, or I need to go ahead and tell you why XYZ is this and I'm that. So all that.
See,
me,
but this ain't even that, though. These niggas ain't out here trading diss tracks and dropping bars and, you know, and all that shit.
The subliminals. We've had the back and forth on records, at least on Drake's side, for the last two albums, essentially.
Yep. He don't want to send no more shots at that man. He don't want that boogeyman to come out again.
No, listen, we Jay Prince made that phone call, said to turn it down, and because we don't want that nigga to go ahead and lose it, get his hairline receding even further with him. So whatever Jay Prince says goes, and that's exactly why we got this concert.
You will not insinuate that Pusha Terrence has Stevie Wonder's. You will not. I will slap him through this computer, nigga.
Listen. He said it himself, and I agree. The power is in his hair, nigga. So right now, he's still good. But if Drake were to release the those scathing bars.
Okay.
If he had it,
he would have dropped it.
Drake has it. He sent me some. He said, I could do this beef shit for weeks. Mm. One of y'all favorite rappers still uses keeps. Mm. Or what's the shit called? Is keeps or see, is that the shit for your hairline?
Man, you know what, man? Listen. I'm gonna stop this right now. Listen,
use Rogaine.
You've had a lot better, bro. This ain't left Jerry Buss, right Jerry Buss. Okay.
Listen, when I want to get to these bars, I can get to these goddamn bars. It's hard for me to instantaneously jump into a Jewish Canadian nigga's mind.
Right. I mean, not like you could tap into any of his 13 personas. You feel me?
Here we go. We just every time we get to the Drake topic, we end up right back where we started. But
yeah, with him being a light skinned bitch, yeah, I agree. All right, so however, this concert was a very big deal. You know, niggas stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning waiting on them niggas to hit the stage. And you know, as someone who again does not support Kanye, does not fuck with Kanye, has not fucked with Kanye in a while. It was cool to kind of see him back in that element. Once again, it's a one-off thing. You know what I'm saying? This is not, okay, hey, I'm about to go out and stream Donda a million times and buy Yeezys and all that other shit. It's definitely not. But for that moment, for that hour, 2 hours, we had the old Kanye back. And that was special. And Kanye came out for this concert in which he was coerced and held at gunpoint and being forced to do. And he treated it like a versus. Kanye came out with his hardest shit going all the way back. All the Can't Tell Me Nothings, all the I Wonders, all the fucking, you know, gold diggers and touch the skies and just and the heat. And what did Drake give us? What did Drake give
The new album. What you mean? Listen. Drake came out and did the new album. That's what he's here for.
Kanye gave us his classics for the first time in 10 plus years, and Drake gave you specifically. You say that you're a lesbian girl, me too.
It's a bar.
That song's terrible. It may be the worst song of 2021.
You are a sick nigga. TBH. Love Tom snitching. Can't stand Lil Baby. What a tremendous turn.
Negro.
what a turn.
No, but, Drake phoned it in. He phoned it in.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, and I'm going to tell you why. One.
Defend Drake, your man. Go ahead. Stand up for your man. That's your man. You going to stand beside him?
Absolutely. I'm gonna help Zaddy out real quick. So the reason he hasn't performed anything off the new album yet. So this is like Kanye just came off a.
That's also a cap. Tour. He's had a bunch of shows.
Not like where he's the main focus. He hasn't done his shows. He shows up with.
Wasn't the main focus of this.
That's what I'm saying. This he was the main focus of this for the, this is a Kanye and this is a Kanye concert. So. He just can't. He didn't really get a chance to do the new. I haven't heard him do this much of the new album anywhere I've seen him. So it was a chance for him to go ahead and do all that. Two, I don't fuck with you. This is a favor for my mans. My OG wants me to help you out here. So I'm not giving you all my good shit. This isn't a fucking versus. I'm not giving you all the fucking classics because I don't fuck with you. This is strictly a favor, and I'm gonna treat it as such.
So,
there's no reason for me to give my all out. Now, if we were boys, and we were truly squashing this shit, and this wasn't no, let me help you out real quick. Then fine, yeah, I give you my best hits. Give you this little kind of fake verses that has been alluded to. But no, nigga, I'm not rocking with you. This is strictly a favor, so I'm just gonna come here and do my.
But your logic isn't sound here, buddy. I'm gonna poke a couple holes in your condom of truth. All right. So first you said that he hadn't had the opportunity to perform anything off the new album, so he wanted to do that. Then it's I'm not going to give any effort at a Kanye concert, so I'm just gonna throw whatever as a favor to Jay Prince. So either he cares about what he's playing or performing, or he doesn't. Obviously, if he cared enough to do only shit off of Scorpion and Certified Lover Boy, then this is something that he wanted to use as an opportunity to promote music, right?
Yep.
Yo, can you hear me?
You went out for like 15 seconds.
Oh, that's Jake. Because I heard myself.
Yeah, you went out as soon as you said if he cared enough about, and then it dropped.
Okay. Let me jump back in. So basically, it's like either you care about the set or you don't care about the set. He alleged, according to your logic, he cared enough to play all this music or this new music that he's been excited to perform and hasn't had the opportunity to perform yet. So he cared enough to do that, but he didn't care enough to come with the fucking heat. It's like, come on, Drake, that's some Canadian half-assery right there, my boy.
You could tell, like, even their times performing was different. Ye went for, what, probably like an hour?
Yeah.
Between the front and the back, between the stuff he did in the front and then stuff afterwards. And Drake performed for, what, 25, 30 minutes?
He got double-digit songs, though. He got double digits.
Yeah, again, this isn't the verses. We're not friends. I'm going to perform stuff that I haven't performed, but I want to perform.
That's the point. If we're not friends, I'm going to make you look bad at your own show. You can't talk all that shit about a nigga and then finally show up at his show and not only you don't compliment him and you don't actually come with heat. To me, it looked like a surrender. It looked like a surrender.
No, because when it comes to these verses, I think it's going to be one of the more, no one's getting blown out either way. If they were to do everyone does their A game. Go ahead, Travis Kelce, hit the Harlem Shake. But if they both brought their A game, no one's getting blown out. You know what I'm saying? It'd be very super interesting verse, probably the most interesting verses there is to have between a solid back and forth. But for me, it's like, yo, like we're I'm not leaving off my logic. It's like, yo, this is strictly a favor, bro. I'm here. I got some new music I want to perform. The crowd wants to hear it. This is your moment. This is a Kanye concert. You feel me? I'm not trying to upstage you because it's still fuck you. Like, I'm not trying to let this turn into a huge moment. It's like, oh man, Kanye really brought the best out of Drake. No, nigga, fuck you. You know what I'm saying?
Man. That's where I'm at. Travis Kelce might be single-handedly ending Cole's season right now. This is a wonderful turn of events. Thank you, Heights Man. You know, I know you fuck with Trumpito and shit, but I will give you a pass right now.
Kelce, Wams, Gamps. I wonder where we're going to end up at the end of this podcast.
I don't follow your logic. Again, I feel like if you've been beefing with somebody, even if it's not a real beef, you've been beefing with somebody for so long, you've been saying some at least low-key flagrant shit about him. If I'm either I'm not showing up at the concert at all, or I'm showing up at the concert and proving after he's been talking all this shit on all these different drink champs and shits, I am proving for however many songs, 10, 15 songs that he had, that I am exactly who the fuck I say I am. Now, we'll probably never know.
And then real quickly, just another thing that would make sense if this was a musical beef. If it was like, Ye was like, yeah, I think I'm a better artist than Drake, or Drake's like, oh, I think I'm a better artist than you. This ain't no music beef. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Drake's issue was the thing that Kanye told on him, or Kanye played him on some shit. So musically, if there's a music beef, yeah, sure, that makes sense. All right, music wise, you think I'm better than you? Hold these hits. Mm. But since it's not music, and again, I hate to just keep bringing this nigga up, but this is a Jay Prince production. You know what I'm saying? You're not gonna say, and Drake has been tied in with Prince for fucking 10 plus years now.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's gonna tell his OG no, because Jay, you know what I'm saying? Jay is for real mob ties. So yeah. For me, it's like this is definitely still a personal beef. So it's like, nah, dog, I'm not giving you the best that I've got.
If I'm Jay Prince, I'm taking that shit as disrespect to me and disrespect to Larry Hoover, personally.
First and foremost, this is Larry who? We didn't hear his name one time throughout this whole thing. But either way.
If that's your OG who will literally kill you in the blink of an eye, you gonna show up? You gonna show up and play your bullshit? You playing your C-sides? Your C-sides!
This man ain't played. This man played the Kid Cudi joint. But no,
that's a Jay Prince song.
It's a tremendous song. It's just for me. It's like, yeah, it is what it is. It was a good show. I was glad to see Kanye back in his element.
It was not a good show because of Drake.
Oh man.
Kanye did everything he could while he could remember lyrics. There came a point in the night where that man was just missing all the buttons on Guitar Hero. Nigga was missing all the prompts. But he gave us something that he hadn't gave us in a long time. It was very entertaining. Unfortunately, Drake didn't feel like showing up to the party. So for a man that's allegedly the biggest artist in the world, the biggest entertainer in the world, but it's a nigga that don't show up. He don't show up in the big games. Is Drake Brian Kelly?
This is a big game?
That is a big game.
Is this a big game?
Man, listen, when you are doing a show with a nigga, and we ain't about to keep talking about this because you are an ignorant little sumbitch. But when you are doing a show, regardless of the beef, when you doing a show that is being billed as not maybe not a true joint venture, but it is being billed as Kanye featuring Drake, after all this time, after all this talk, after all this speculation, at the LA Coliseum, streaming live on Amazon Prime Video that we pay $14.99 for a month. and you don't come with your best shit, that is a big game, bro. It doesn't get much bigger than what's bigger than that outside of like an OVO Fest.
OVO Fest.
Well,
Super Bowl, AFC Championship, AFC Wild Card.
Drake live at Orchard Park and Ralph Wilson Stadium. Yeah.
That's the biggest show I can think of. But yeah, so you can call it a big game. I guess you could consider it a big game. But again, we're not friends. I don't like you, nigga.
Okay.
This is a play date that our mothers set up just because we're the same age. I don't like you.
And you know what? What's the part that I forgot? I feel like I love the fact that he came out and did No Friends in the Industry first. I love that. However, you come out talking spicy and then don't follow it up with any additional spice. That's some whole shit.
I have to play kind of nice. This isn't fucking war. This isn't. He's not gonna tell Kanye suck his dick in the stadium.
Speaking of telling people to suck their dick in the middle of widely televised concerts,
are you talking about the Lady Gaga show?
Yeah. Yes. You know, she ran up, told Olivia Rodrigo to suck her dick, and next thing you knew, niggas was throwing bottles and microphones.
It was crazy, man. Lizzie Bone.
It was wild. I'll be honest, man. As a Cleveland boy, as a Lander, as somebody who was very excited for this versus coming in, Bone really let me down. Like, they really let me down. And
you want to talk about smoke, nigga.
I think by the end, it didn't end up being the biggest blowout in Versus history. I still think that is reserved for Jada and Fab.
This wasn't the biggest blowout.
No, yeah. No. Cause they picked it up around round 7 or 8. They finally picked the energy up. And I will say probably from like round 8, like to the end, it was relatively even. So like if it was 12 rounds left, they probably won. 3-6 probably won the last 12, 7-5. However, they won the first 8 unanimously. So that's why it didn't end up looking too great on the final scorecard. But, you know, bruh, Bone, they was niggas that was coming out and they was enjoying the ride. They was coming for the check and the free Ciroc and the notoriety. But they didn't come prepared for Versus, especially not prepared for Versus with a camp that's as solid as 3-6 Mafia. Like, Nick, who did y'all niggas think y'all was facing?
I told you this, like, I really didn't truly know the history kind of behind these two groups. Well, not really. I know as far as Bone Thugs, I'm not really hip to Bone Thugs like that outside of kind of the hits. So for me, like going into this versus, I was like, 3-6 gonna smoke these niggas. Like I didn't really kind of foresee a way that it would even really be close. But especially the way the Bone started, they were kind of just chilling, playing kind of like their album cuts almost to a point.
B sides and album cuts.
And 3-6 is coming out the gate with bombs.
You know, bro, there was a point in time where I think it was Wishbone, and he was like, yeah, this some B-side shit, but we want to see if y'all know it. Nigga, y'all niggas workshopping in the middle of a versus?
Yeah, you know who could start with B-side shit? Niggas like Hov.
Man, listen, Hov could do the whole versus off B-sides, but that is also the greatest rapper of all time.
And that's where the list stops. if you're not Hov, you got to come out with your hits.
You know, like, honestly, bro, I don't even think, and this is not me shitting on Drake, I don't think Drake could do a whole versus of B-sides, depending on who his opponent was. So, it was just the audacity for me, man. And honestly, I was very upset in the moment. I was very upset that they were playing B-sides, because you gotta understand, Bone in Cleveland, Bone is sacred to us. But even we knew, they needed to come with a perfect 20. They needed that, you know, that game script where the head coach scripts the first 20 to 30 plays of the game. That shit had to be perfect in order to even stay in this shit with niggas that got the firepower that 3-6 Mafia got. And not only did they not do that, but they failed miserably. And seen an interview of that nigga, Busy Bone, who tried to derail this entire thing, went on Fat Joe's podcast. Fat Joe asked him, bruh, how the fuck didn't y'all play First in a Month? They didn't play arguably their biggest song in a versus, which is insane. And he was just like, you know, just kind of dancing around and not giving a real answer. Fat Joe was like, no, fuck all that. How did you not play First of the Month? This man Busy said, man, we was just trying to get in there, do our 1-2, handle 3-6 real quick, and then move on to Wu-Tang.
Wow.
This man said, we're not even going to play our best songs. We're going to overlook the Juice Man, the Little Arm Man, the most gangsta fucking female rapper on this planet, and Project Pat and Crunchy Black.
And the best dancer.
And Duke Deuce. They overlooked all of them to try to get to Wu-Tang. If that is not the stupidest, the most loser mentality shit that I've ever heard, I don't know what is. That is the Cleveland Browns in a nutshell.
This isn't like the playoffs. This isn't a bracket. the winners don't advance and then face somebody else. Like, this is your shot. You have to give it all you what you want. Like, you may want Wu-Tang, but that's not in the cards. That's not gonna happen. And when you form as formidable group as 3-6 standing in front of you, you gotta take that shit serious. And you could tell, at least for the first half ish of the verses, they ain't take it serious, and it fucking showed.
Yeah, it showed. And you know, the fucked up part is the crowd was behind them 100% too. That LA crowd was fucking with Bone tough. You know, that Eazy-E connection, that Pac connection. They really was really fucking with them, and they had like they did everything in their power to lose the crowd. You know what I'm saying? And that's exactly what they did. And it was incredibly disappointing, especially for a nigga to pay $2.99 on Triller, like myself. It was an L all around. It was an L for the whole city. You know, only Cleveland niggas will get in a versus and then not show up, or not show up until halfway through the battle. But I will say, when it picked up really fucking well. I think this versus set the new standard for niggas bringing out guests. Nigga, we got the Flipper Man. We got the Camillitary Man. We got the Dancing with the Stars season 47 champion, Duke Deuce, which lost my shit when Duke came out. I was twinkle toes and all around my living room. We got, shit, who else did we get?
Lil Jon.
We got Lil Jon.
Side Boys, unfortunately.
No.
Duke came out.
We got Shatasha that sung Thuggish Ruggish Bone.
Yep.
You feel me?
Facts.
One of the greatest hooks of all time.
Well, LA Chat came out.
Yes.
For something. Chicken Head, I believe. Project Pat came out.
Of course, even though his mic was off, that was very disappointing.
Was he War Machine at the time? Was it just Rhodey? He might have just been
Rhodey. Yeah, we got Terrence motherfucking Howard. Cause I just knew Taraji Henson was coming out, and it was Terrence Howard. But that was a pleasant surprise. Young Buck, who was absolutely wildin'. Young Buck was wild.
Yeah. As he's known to do.
Yeah.
Now this was definitely the one where I said that the guest list is one, especially we got fucking Lil Wayzy.
We did. Mm-hmm. Shockingly.
No, I thought Chainz. I thought Chainz came up. I was watching his Rolling Loud performance the other day. Kind of got confused. But no, as far as guest wise, this was definitely the best one. With the guests, because every guest they brought out was a huge song on both ends.
Mm-hmm. Big.
And it's good. Like I would love to see kind of if in future verses, if people have songs, like huge songs with these guests, bring the guests out, man. Make this a fun experience for everybody.
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, with two groups that have had careers as long as them, that's something that you're going to expect. You know, it's a Versus is supposed to be like a, you know, like a career retrospect. You feel me? So you want, you know, if you anybody who you can get there, you definitely want to do. And I just feel like Bone left a lot on the table. Obviously, I think, you know, all things considered, if everybody comes with their best 20, you know, I think it looks a lot more like, you know, 13-7 instead of whatever it turned out to be. But yeah, it was just, you know, Bone could have brought out MGK. You know, there was a lot of options and they didn't have it. Damn, the world has too many freaks, left that shit on the table. So, you know what, man? I'm gonna move on from it because I need to cleanse my soul of that shit. So you know, so you know, we did get our first Versus fight. You know what I'm saying? Jeezy and Gucci didn't even fight, but them Cleveland boys did.
Yeah. Y'all did that.
And Gangsta Boo was ready to strangle that nigga Busy Bone. If there was not niggas holding him back, that would have been it for him on that night.
Yeah. Real talk, real quickly. Yes, I had to agree with Busy. Once the Suck My Dick comes out, it's all bets off the table. So
very fair. Very
is
fair.
What it was. Is what it was.
So you feel me? I don't know how long this podcast has been on, but we didn't plan on making it super long. So right. Let's see. From heartbreak to my heart's everlasting fulfillment. You want to talk a little NBA? Let's talk about the feel-good story of basketball, them baby Cavs. What you got to say about my young pups?
The feel-good? I mean, I don't know about feel-good story of basketball because nobody, and I mean nobody, outside the 330, the 216, that's about it. That's the only niggas who are happy to see. Goddamn, Travis Kelce going to fuck off.
Yes, no, he is.
He's about to win it? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's over 200, and he just scored the game-winning touchdown.
But you're out of here, Cole, son of a bitch. But, I deserve this. I deserve it.
Deserve nothing. But the Cavs are doing their thing, I guess. Definitely have shocked the league as far as what they were expected to do this season and where they are right now. It's cool, I guess. Again.
Wow, this is very low of you. You know how much this means to me.
Of course, that's part of the reason why I'm giving it as little validation as it deserves. But yeah, I mean, they only have a few more games over the most dysfunctional team in the entire league. So I don't know what that really means. Okay. But
gotcha.
It is what it is.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? Well.
Chetty Hive here, you know what I'm saying?
You and Austin Reeves can both suck a bag of baby dicks.
I don't know if you can pick up our phones anymore. You're balling, you feel me?
But nah, the Cavs have been the surprise of basketball, TBH. And it's we're a really young team, and especially when we were playing well before the Sex Man went down and after he did. I think we kind of assumed like, ah, shit, you know, maybe our playoff hopes might have just took a little dive. But that team is completely bought into a team game. They've completely bought into JB Bickerstaff, and them niggas is locking the fuck up. Evan Mobley and Jared Allen are probably doing the best. I'll be honest, this may be a little bit of hyperbole, but I think they are. We're really the first team to successfully pull the Twin Towers thing in today's modern Steph Curry NBA. Do you agree with that?
Again, this is 30 games in the season, so I don't like to make these big astounding claims, but I would probably have to... I guess I'd say so. I mean, I would say... Kind of to a point, we figures from a couple years ago were making a JaVale slash Dwight slash AD. That was like 3 7 footers kind of come playing together, anchoring. And we had a top five defense, I think, at the time. But as far as just like two young guys, that's probably the first time we've seen it kind of in the situation which you guys are doing, Evan Mobley and
in the aftermath together. Of the cafe ambush, Ron said he recognized one of the men from what? Wanted posters, a Quidditch team, Nocturne Alley, or his dreams?
Some Harry Potter shit.
Yes, I got the tournament of houses on in the background.
Nah, man, I'm willing to smoke one of you niggas in this tournament of houses one day soon. I wish they had I need to get a Potter app for real niggas, a Harry Potter real nigga app.
Maybe that's our lane. We just gotta, you know, say a couple transphobic, make a couple transphobic comments to appease J.K. Rowling, and then we right in the door, huh?
I've done worse for less, so I'm not about selling my soul.
The correct answer was wanted posters, because apparently, Ron saw Kid on the wanted posters in Nocturne Alley. So there you go.
His name is everywhere, so it makes sense. All right.
I am loving the fact that you know, quick side note, this Harry Potter tournament of houses, the Gryffindor team is all black people. So that makes me feel very good.
I did see that. That's pretty cool.
The baby Cavs, like we said, back on topic, them boys is working. You know, it's been you know, Darius Garland has taken a huge step. Ricky Rubio is in the sixth man of the year running, making Austin Cole's life. Because when we picked him up, he was like, Ricky Rubio, I guess. He's been great, though. Kevin Love has found some hair club for men, a little bit of that old sauce. He getting back in his bag a little bit, too. And most importantly, niggas is locking the fuck up. Number two defense in the league. Behind the Golden State Warriors, we're doing some pretty big things, man. I'm proud of these Cavs, and hopefully, they will keep it up, and you know, not just make the playoffs, but avoid the play-in altogether. And I think that they are playing well enough to do so. Would you like to discuss the dumpster fire that is your Lakers?
You mean the sixth seed in the West? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah, sure.
Listen. I mean, it's facts. You can look it up. But my Lakers are going through shit that teams go through. LeBron's been out. He's played, I think this was the last game he's played over half our games now. Anthony Davis is putting up good numbers, but hasn't been as dominant as he wants to be. Russ is still being fucking Russ. And we're still having a positive record with all of our guys not really playing together. We're still missing key guys. A lot of niggas are out right now because they caught that Omicron. And Bulls will be fine come playoff time. I'm not too worried. I'm not one of these skip Bayless ass niggas overreacting.
Right. How do you respond to the claims that Anthony Davis is the most overrated player in basketball and did not deserve a place in the NBA's top 75 players? Because that's not me making that up. That has been heavy social media rhetoric lately.
Yeah. So, one, he's not the most overrated player in the league. That's just not – that's true false.
Who is the most overrated player in the league then?
Overrated?
Yeah.
Most overrated player. Hurts been saying it. Probably Dame. Dame's my nigga. Dame's probably my favorite point guard in the league. But he might be the most overrated. And that's if you want to make an argument of somebody who really should be in the top 25.
Yeah.
Or top 70, that's probably a guy.
He shouldn't be.
AD doesn't really have the non-Lakers playoff moments to be in the 75, but as far as counting numbers, like he's been first team, I think, four or five times.
That's great.
Which is nuts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's nice as fuck. And again, like I was just watching last night, people were saying like, oh, he hasn't really been playing well, but he's still averaging 24-10 with two blocks and leads the league in paint. So those numbers are good for anybody else, but I feel like he just has to play better defensively.
So anyway, he's not over. So, so what you're saying is Chris Gatling with a unibrow, basically.
What I was saying is light-skinned Bill Russell. cares slightly less about social issues. But it's Lakers gonna be fine. Everybody just calm down. Keep your panties or boxer briefs or nothing. We like to be inclusive here. Keep them in a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Or don't get them in a bunch, rather. You know what I'm saying? And gang, I'm saying you Kaz was all this and all that, came to LA and got that ass whooped, nigga. And that's before we start throwing up the C's for the Crip.
All right. You know what?
That, beat in the Staples Center. That's old shit.
That's cool, because y'all beat us, but we still have a better record than you. So, you know.
Yeah, nigga, when y'all came up in the Crip, where it happened then, cuz? That's what the fuck I thought, Loke. Nigga, got your ass whooped, nigga.
Break them.
I'm a set.
Break them.
Yeah, I can't wait till we officially, I think Christmas Day is when we officially switch over to the Crip Center, and I'm going to be blew the fuck out. I'm talking different for real.
The Lakers, you know, underachieving, kind of trying to get it together, and the Cavs, you know, kind of being one of the surprises of the league are two of the big stories going on right now in the NBA. Another one is COVID, obviously. That's not going away anytime soon. But right now, I feel this season has been really fun. And I know we kind of said that last year as well, but I think that it was I still think last year had a lot to do with just the fact that we were happy to have basketball back as a whole, but it wasn't necessarily the best basketball that we could have seen. This year is real competitive. It's real, real, real competitive. I mean, outside of, you know, them Suns and Warriors at the top, I still feel like there's damn near anybody, you know, that can come up, can make a run, you know, go on a 8-9 game win streak, and all of a sudden, you know, the season's looking real different. So I'm just enjoying it. I'm enjoying basketball, NBA ball, the most that I have in some years, probably. So I'm happy just sitting back, you know, watching the Indiana Pacers struggle. That's always fun. Never want to root for them. You know, sitting back, watching. The Pelicans are 9-21.
Yes.
Those guys stink. Wow. Yeah.
Zion.
Congratulations, you won the trade, bro.
Listen, we had been won the trade because we got to bring in. Oh no, I think AD came by himself. Damn, I thought we brought somebody else in.
Nope, just AD.
I'm saying, you know, yeah, just AD. It's been a nice season. It's gonna be interesting to see kind of what happens the rest of the way, especially with the way COVID is hitting teams.
Yeah, that's going to be the big factor, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. We had to bring back a little person to come play on our team because we got that many guys in the protocol. You see what we did today?
No.
We signed Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, yeah, duh. Forgot about that. Yeah. Best of luck. Best of luck with that.
I've seen his movies.
But yeah, just there's a ton of storylines to keep an eye on. Going, you know, about a week out from, you know, the biggest basketball day of the regular season, Christmas Day. You know, you got the Nets that are still playing really well. I mean, KD, who's been playing incredible, but is also playing incredible minutes for a nigga that tore his Achilles not that long ago. Will he wear down eventually? Will Kyrie rejoin the team at any point? The Bucks are starting to round into shape a little bit. The Bulls have been playing well, but they're running into COVID problems as well. The Hornets are always a fun little team when they got everybody back. The Celtics stink, and I'm very happy about that. The Sixers are treading water. Will they trade Ben Simmons sometime soon? Who knows? The Warriors and the Suns are playing outstanding. The Jazz are still there. Just winning nonsensically. The Grizzlies are playing great basketball without Ja Morant. And then the Clippers will always be the Clippers. So, but a lot to look forward to, a lot to tune in for, a lot to pay attention to throughout the rest of this season. And if we don't see a COVID
fucking, are you still watching the Hogwarts shit?
Yeah.
Is that the nigga from the Community? What's my nigga's name? You watch Community, right?
Yeah.
You see the black nigga that just popped out the wall?
I did not.
With the braids, he looked like Sean Porter.
I looked down.
He looked like a mix of Sean Porter and the nigga from Community that would go pop pop.
Oh, I forgot about that nigga. Oh, shit.
Magneto, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
But yeah, like a mix of that nigga, and I apologize for stopping you mid-ramp. But,
No, it's
niggas,
okay.
Niggas with braids in Hogwarts threw me off.
So we are very excited to see how this NBA season unfolds. But the other thing that we are very excited right now, minus fucking spoilers, which I was still barely able to finesse, Spider-Man No Way Home, which is just released, I think officially last night at midnight. And it is, you know, even for the MCU standard, and MCU has been, you know, the biggest thing in entertainment for a long time now, even by the MCU standards, is this the most anticipated non Avengers Endgame Marvel movie? Outside of Endgame and Infinity War,
probably have to say so. Yeah, and then in the non-Avengers division, this is probably the biggest one. I'm trying to even think of something that would be even close.
Not really. Yeah. I mean, people was hyped for Civil War, but that's low key another Avengers movie, if you ask me.
That's an Avengers movie, basically.
So,
Yes, and I think individually that might be the most anticipated one, honestly.
Travis Kelce put up 41 PPR points. 41. Mm. And he ain't been his normal self this year. So he gave us this at the perfect time. Thank you, Man of the Heights. We must stick together. What was that?
I was gonna say his biggest achievement this season was he got his bitch back, and that's
he did.
Yeah, that overshadows anything he's going to do on the field. Bless in my him. Humble opinion.
God bless him. But yeah, man, Spider-Man No Way Home is, again, like you said, it's hard to imagine any other solo movie that has created the same fervor and anticipation that we've seen. I mean, going back to when it was first announced, to, you know, when you started hearing about, you know, all the classic villains and potentially heroes that are going to show up in it, to the first trailer, to just knowing, once again, how big of an impact it'll have on the MCU going forward, potentially, in terms of, like, multiversal crossovers. And it's about as big as it gets. It's the biggest movie of 2021 popping in right at the end. And, you know, I'm seeing this weekend. Are you seeing this weekend?
Maybe. I'm trying to figure out when to go. Okay. I might end up probably going middle of next week.
Okay.
So I'm trying to avoid these spoilers for almost a full week, which is insane.
Yeah, no, that's wild. Good luck.
I can do it. You know what I'm saying? I just pull up some, just watch. Anytime I pull up my phone, it's either going to be just for texting or for porn. I got to stay off social media.
I feel you. Keep your eyes on the prize. But yeah, bro, so, you know, just this is, you know, we talk about Endgame and stuff like that as a culmination of all the great things that the MCU has been, and I feel like No Way Home is more of a tipping point, a jumping off point, a catalyst, a rebirth of the MCU of sorts, showing us what MCU movies could potentially look like, the dawn of something new. More than, you know, the culmination of everything that it has been. So definitely looking forward to seeing it. Again, just gotta, you know, stay off the socials long enough to get in there and knock that thing out. But, you know, the MCU it's come a long way, you know, going all the way back to technically the Incredible Hulk. But, you know, we don't show Edward Norton any love on this podcast. It's all Ruffalo in this bitch. So, Iron Man is where this shit started. So all the way back from Iron Man up to now, the MCU has become a juggernaut, you know, not just on the movie side, not just with wild sequels and wild team ups and multiversal shit and magic and space and all of that good shit, but also the TV shows as well. with Hawkeye currently airing right now on Disney Plus. The MAGA man stepping up into the MCU, finally becoming a lead man for the first time. So a lot of good things going on in the MCU right now. So I want to ask you, my good brother, as we take a look back on all the greatness that this shit has been, what is your top five MCU projects?
Boy, this is one of the topics you sent me over earlier that I just completely forgot to look at. Gotcha. As per usual, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? This is Wesley's Thursday Night Freestyles. Mm-hmm. And when freestyle it. So, top five Marvel Jones. Starting from, I guess I got to start from the top because it'd be hard. Pause. Start from the top. I think Endgame is probably, this has got to be the number one. I don't necessarily know if it's the best movie. I don't think it's probably the best Marvel movie, but as far as what it meant, the shit it carried, what it did, it's probably got to be number one. Now, I'm going to kind of say a few, and then I might just kind of rank them after I say them. Mm-hmm. But Black Panthers, you got your Winter Soldiers, mm-hmm. Ragnarok.
Big banger.
I kind of fuck with Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi was fire.
Shang-Chi was big fire.
And then maybe the first Avengers.
It did its job. Did what it had to do.
Brought story along. I liked Ant-Man.
Ant-Man was good.
But I don't know if Ant-Man is top 10-ish. So yeah, I'd probably say in some order from 2 to 5 is probably gonna be somewhere of like a Black Panther, Ragnarok, Winter Soldier, and shit called Civil War. And
not too far off from my shit too. So for freestyling, you know, you did pretty well. Yeah, that was more in line with left Jerry Buss, right Jerry Buss. I give you credit for that shit.
Yeah, appreciate that, my boy.
But you know, my little list start with a couple honorable mentions. On my honorable mentions, also got Shang-Chi, which is probably not cracking the top five solely just because of the time. You know, it hasn't been out for too long, but Shang-Chi really, really, really set the game on fire, man, in a way that, you know, we didn't really know how it was going to be. The expectations were just kind of there because we didn't know how it was going to be set up. But that boy Simu Liu turned the fuck up and gave us a great movie. I have not seen Eternals, but apparently I don't need to.
Oh, no. Don't listen. I was going to ask you about this once we finished the Marvel conversation, but I, too, saw that the reviews for Eternals wasn't that great.
Yeah.
Nah, nigga, go see that shit.
Oh, for real? That shit was hitting?
Not like fire, but it's like right beneath fire. It's like solid.
Okay.
At the very end, I was going to talk about this, but I can't talk about it now because you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
At the very, very end, you get the a small appearance from a future Marvel star.
Okay. Okay. Jake. Okay, Jake.
It's definitely something I would definitely recommend. It was way better than I thought after reading and seeing what social media was saying. So yeah, Eternals is must watch.
It's coming to Disney Plus in like a month for free. So I'm gonna just hold out till the end.
Okay.
See, but
nigga like me who had to use up all his vacation days, so I took every Wednesday off this month because has been going to the movies every Wednesday.
That's live as fuck. That's some real nigga shit. I respect that.
Mm-hmm. I work 10 2-day weeks.
That's pretty lit. But honorable mention, Shang-Chi's up there. As you mentioned, Thor Ragnarok, which I want to give Thor Ragnarok a lot of fucking credit because of how shitty the first two Thors were. The first two Thors are arguably the worst movies in the MCU. So to take that from what it was and turn it into basically a comedy, but a good as fuck comedy. I don't think I've ever seen a franchise take such a leap from a shitty second movie to a really good third movie. So shout out to Taika Waititi, the Poon Slayer, for literally saving the Thor franchise with Ragnarok. Spider-Man Homecoming is up there too. You know, they had, I feel like they had super high expectations. bringing Spider-Man into the MCU for the first time, trying to that a really difficult task of trying to integrate, I believe it's the Russo brothers. I think they're Homecoming, if I'm not mistaken. But they had a really difficult, unenviable task of trying to bring in literally one of the most, probably top three most popular superheroes and most famous superheroes in the world, and bring them seamlessly into a universe that's already well established without spending an entire movie giving us an origin story. That's really fucking hard to do, but they did it really well. So I want to give credit to Spider-Man Homecoming for that. Also got to mention Ant-Man, just because I didn't know what the fuck Ant-Man was. I didn't really care. I went and saw it literally just to see it, and I was so pleasantly surprised. And I feel like 90% of that comes down to Paul Rudd. But either way, it's still a good movie.
Erasure of Michael Pena
is a good movie. And Michael Pena. The only person we're erasing out of that movie is the bad man. Okay? So.
Michael Douglas? What do you do?
Peter from House of Cards? No. but top five. As I mentioned, this is top five MCU projects, not just movies. So my number five has got to be Loki. Talking about turning the shit on its head, Loki had the task of not just showing what the MCU is going to be or could be, but actually being the direct catalyst for it. Loki had to take all of the events that had taken place in all of the previous movies. We had to basically train a brand new Loki who has no idea what the fuck is going on, bring him up to speed, and then set the entire arc of Kang the Conqueror fucking up the entire multiverse. And they did all that in 8 episodes? It was 8 episodes? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and they did that shit so well. Shout out to the God. Man is killing Hollywood right now, Jonathan Majors, because he really, really, really did his fucking thing in that one episode that he was in. Can't wait to see him in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. And Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness and whatever else the fuck he's supposed to be in. Loki's type fire, as the kids say. Number four, Guardians of the Galaxy. Once again, didn't know what the fuck it was, didn't have any familiarity with the characters, and in one movie, fell in love with all of them. Most importantly, Dave Bautista deserves an Oscar for his performances in Guardians of the Galaxy. Just tremendous shit. Number three, Endgame. You've already said it all. That's the one. You know, kind of just... What more can you say? RIP Tony Stark, as always. Number two, I got the Winter Soldier and Civil War, like, just interchangeably. I feel like they're both incredible movies, and you could throw either one up there. I think I slightly lean towards Winter Soldier because they didn't have all of the fucking Avengers to lean on. It was just a great plot. If you're talking about just plot and just story, I think the Winter Soldier is probably the best thing that the MCU has done so far. And number one for the people, it's Wakanda Forever, Black Panther. Not just because how good the movie was, but because of everything it meant to us as a people. RIP Chadwick Boseman. I do not want them to recast T'Challa, by the way.
That man nigga cat, as he's known on the interwebs.
Yes,
those are good. Project wise, I got shout out WandaVision. To that kind of, because I had zero expectations for WandaVision. That shit ended up being very, very good.
Very good. I didn't love the ending, but everything leading up to like the last episode and a half was very good. So
for sure.
Shout out to Jimmy Woo.
My man, Randall, Park man. Salute to Marvel, man. I'm saying good shit going. I'm gonna run through the Spider-Mans on HBO Max this weekend. I gotta find the Garfield one because I didn't watch the Garfield one.
Wait, which ones is on HBO Max?
The The McGuire ones.
I thought that was on the cock.
That's that nigga's name, Magnitude from Community. I think that's him.
Well, if they are on HBO Max, I didn't know because I've been watching them on the cock.
So. You are a company man through and through.
Yeah. But yeah, man. I feel like in the age of COVID, we don't have as many big events or as many like must see, must do, like everybody together at one thing, you know, type of things. But Spider-Man is definitely one of them. So I will refrain from any spoilers until next Wednesday when you have the opportunity to go see it. But about time to wrap up episode 54. Wes, my boy, you got an L of the week?
Let me think about it. I saw some earlier. The L of the week is all you broke niggas and bitches out here with your student loans, because my nigga Biden said y'all niggas gotta start paying that shit back, nigga. So if you haven't been getting to the bag, or if you haven't been properly scamming and using your PPP to fund your college repayment plans, you fucked up out here. It's not my L. My L is a little more serious. I like to be playful with the L's, but this week got to be a little more serious because we haven't had a chance to speak on it since it happened. Mm-hmm. But rest in peace, Young Dolph. We as rap fans lost a young legend, man. Someone who has been in the game for pushing a decade, and who continually supplied us with great hits, great projects, his own specific kind of lane of rap and good music. And we lost him to some street shit, behind some street shit, which is always fucked up to see. Especially artists who are not necessarily always putting out that energy. But to kind of see them kind of fall victim to this shit again, especially for me, Dolph has been my guy for forever. Every time I do them Apple Music year-end wrap-up, Dolph is always in my top five.
Yes, sir.
As far as artists for the year. So it was sad to see, man. I'm sad he's gone. I'm missing tremendously. But that's just not like a loss for me. That's a loss for hip-hop as a whole. So my week goes to hip-hop as a whole for losing Dolph like that, man.
Yeah, you know, the senseless violence, the killing, you know, that we've just become so desensitized to, especially during a pandemic. And it got Dolph. And, you know, it was a lot going on that first night, a lot of retaliation, a lot of, you know, oh, was it Gotti? Was it, you know, Black Youngster, whatever? No connection has been proven to that whatsoever at this point. And, you know, it could have been any old nigga, hating ass nigga from the neighborhood. I mean, how many times have we seen that? I was thinking about Dobie last week. Same situation. That nigga was going to be special, yep, too. For sure. Mm-hmm. So, you know. Same city?
I think if I'm not mistaken. No, not same city. But if I think I'm not mistaken, either today or yep, it was today. It was the anniversary of Slim Duncan. Us losing Slim Duncan.
Yeah, man. Damn.
We had an anniversary not so long ago. So sad state of hip.
Yeah, losing, man. You know, you don't ever really bounce back from that, man. Dolph, you know, I've joked a lot about Dolph on this podcast for fraudulently being signed to a label this whole time. But, you know, he really, that Young Dolph wave, man, that 2013, 2014 Young Dolph wave was, he hit the streets in a way that niggas hadn't really done in a while. And he really kind of flipped the game. He kind of turned the shit on his head for, honestly, probably I would say the premier trap rapper of the SoundCloud era. I think I'll go ahead and give him that title.
That's fair.
You know, so it's, you know, it's for Dolph, for his family, for Glock, who is fucking going through it right now, for the whole city of Memphis. You know, you are in our prayers right now, and you know, you just want to see better. You want people to do better. You don't know if it's gonna happen, but you always hope for it. My L of the week is a little bit lighter. My L of the week goes to Urban Meyer. That man is out of Jacksonville. Some people might not even call it an L at all because, you know, he may pop up at the next college job within a week. Who knows? However, the L goes to Urban Meyer, not because of him getting fired, because he still got 5 years left on his deal that he got to be paid for. But the L falls more with the fact that he was a complete dickhead. Do you know how hard it is for an NFL coach to get fired, not just after their first season, but in their first season? The privilege and the audacity that this nigga operated with from day one when he stepped into Jacksonville. And it's just a matter of a white man who has gotten away with everything over the course of his career, from illegal, impermissible benefits to just being a general dickhead to philandering to aiding and abetting in domestic violence situations. Whatever the situation may be, Urban Meyer has gotten away with it. And for some reason, he didn't understand that you can't go to the NFL and talk to millionaire 25-year-old black niggas like they're indentured servants. Did you know you couldn't do that, Wes?
Well, maybe he would have learned his lesson if it wasn't niggas like you empowering him when he was bringing all them titles down to Columbus. Mm-hmm. Don't think I forgot.
He brought us one title, just a singular one.
Oh, I know. I was trying to make a little point. But yes, maybe if he had learned his lesson beforehand, before everybody started. No, I'm a chill. I'm gonna let you get your jail off. I'm sorry. The personal bias came through.
Thank you, sir. Yes, it is. We are culpable. We are not without blame in this situation for empowering him, but you know, I feel like the real ill falls on Shad Khan for being so distracted by his son's little wrestling company that he couldn't even go out and hire a good head coach like Eric Bieniemy. So, you know, Jags.
You Jags feel me? Jags,
So Urban Meyer, this should be it for him, but it probably won't be. Unless he wants to stop. But I do appreciate it from a perspective of somebody who's just an arrogant prick, an entitled arrogant prick, finally got chopped down to size after 20 years of running rampant over the football world, both amateur and professional. So
it's also pretty funny that what got him fired was basically him kicking a nigga.
Yeah.
He was pretty much skating on everything else. But
Hey, little piece of shit, you little Nancy. You little sissy boy, go make your kicks. He's like, oh boy, wow, this is a
kicked
a
nigga. That's funny.
Yeah, kicked him. When I first heard that Urban kicked him, I imagined Patrick kicking Sandy when she put the trombone on that nigga head. But yeah, man, just all around general dickhead. Just awful to his players, awful to his coaches, awful to the city. Just get him out of here. We don't need people like that. In my NFL, you know.
That's right, damn it.
You know, goddamn, you know. Bill Belichick will never, you know. So, Elder Week falls on Mr. Urban Meyer, and that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Episode 54, Beware the L's, about to sign the fuck off. You already know. We're going to mention it again. If you would like to pass us a Christmas gift, please, please, we will accept a like, a rate, a share, a subscribe, a retweet on anywhere that you enjoy your fine podcast, or a hibachi dinner. We'll take that too.
Anything you'd like to give us, we will gladly accept, and we will continue to give this podcast for free.
For now.
For the time being. For now. This podcast will be migrating to OnlyFans at some point in 2022, so prepare yourselves mentally and prepare yourselves financially.
Mm-hmm.
Boys are selling out and selling up.
Listen, that top 1%. Yesterday's price is not
they're gonna find
today's.
Out.
Okay.
They're gonna find out. But for the time being, we keep fucking with us. We're gonna keep fucking with y'all, give y'all this heat, you feel me?
Yes, sir.
Uptown Ace Boogie.
Yes, sir. And before we sign out, we normally leave on L's. Tonight, we're going to leave on a W because everybody needs one. We're going to Jameis Winston eat some dubs. Roddy Ricch's album is officially out as we speak.
That just tells me that this short episode went too long.
Shit. You might be right, nigga, but we'll catch y'all probably next week for that 2021 wrap-up. Definitely want y'all to tune in for that. So y'all be safe. Y'all be easy. Stay safe, my nigga. Vax up, mask up, you know, all that good shit. Even on Tinder dates, you should mask up too. If you can figure out how to eat pussy through a mask, then you're in good shape.
Man, don't do sex without that max. All right, y'all.
Peace.